Hi, this is Randy, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Welcome to the show, Graham, everyone. I'm Randy Schuler, and today we're going to fill you with fingernail knowledge. But first, let me introduce my partner and co-host, Perry Romanowski.
Hey, Randy. Yeah, I thought you forgot about me there for a second.
I'm just going to make the introduction longer and longer until I've edged you out completely.
Yeah, I'll be left to the end where I'm saying that ending line.
The tagline that you love so much.
Yes, the tagline. All right, so we have a wonderful show talking nails today, huh?
We've got a lot to cover today. I thought we would start off with another fun game of beauty science or bullshit.
Oh, well, that is always fun. Do you have the special introduction music?
Yes, I do. All right, so, you know, this is the game where we test your scientific sleuthing skills. I give you three beauty science headlines. Two are true, one is false. You have to pick the fake one. And if you're if you want to play along at home, just hit the pause button before I give the answer to Perry. Perry is currently 1 for 3 in the game. So hopefully you're doing better than that if you're playing along at home. So,
right. So
here we go. All right. Number one, the intercellular glue that holds skin cells together helps control the shape of those cells.
All right.
Number two, the latest weapon against germs is a new protein-based antibacterial paint.
Protein-based paint, all right.
And number three, using a blow dryer is more green than towel drying your hair.
Blow dryer more green. All right.
So there you go. What do you think?
These are pretty good because I haven't read any of them. So.
I'll tell you, the toughest part of this game is to, you know, because I know you scour the scientific feeds as well as I do. The toughest part of the game is finding things that you have not already read.
That's right. Well, you did a good job because I have been reading up in anticipation of the game.
that's cheating.
All right. So let's logic these backwards here. Hair drying.
Did you just use logic as a verb?
Yeah, I did.
Shame on you.
Well, you know, people use the word learning as a verb. Or wait, now learning is a verb.
We're the grammar brains. Welcome, everyone.
Do you ever listen to this podcast, Grammar Girls?
I've read the website. I've never listened to the podcast.
I love her podcast, The Grammar Girl. She'll talk some about obscure stuff like... words like the word pants, how pants has been a shortened word when it was originally pantaloons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's fun stuff. Yeah. But anyway, let me logic my way through these. the third one, the hair dryer is more environmentally conscious than towel drying. Well, I mean, I could see how that, I could see the logic there, right? That, so a blow dryer is you're going to use some amount of electricity, but then you don't have to use the chemicals and washings of the towels. So, I mean, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was the antibacterial protein paste paint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little skeptical of that, mostly the protein part. But I can buy an antibacterial paint, but protein. And then that first one was the sticky glue between cells is responsible for their shape. And I can believe that one. I know a little bit about biochemistry.
You have a degree in biochemistry, as I recall.
Indeed I do. I can throw down some alpha helixes and beta pleated sheets with the best of them.
Oh, love to sleep on the beta pleated sheets.
You know, if this was an audience of biochemists, they would be roaring with laughter.
Unfortunately, it's not.
We're such beauty brains. So I'm going to say the fake one is the protein-based antibacterial paint. That's what I'm going with.
All right. All right. Let's see. So you're saying that the intercellular glue that holds skin cells together helps control their shape is true, and that indeed is true. According to the Genetics Society of America, they have found the first evidence in living organisms that these adherens junctions, and that's part of the glue between cells, that can actively respond to mechanical cues and remodel their position and intensity, which in turn restructures the cells. And these are found in skin cells and around heart cells and I guess some other major organ cells. So that one is indeed true. You are saying that the latest weapon against germs, this antibacterial paint, is false. And I'm afraid that one is actually true.
Oh.
Yeah, this one comes to us from the Institute of Transformative Biomolecules, and their researchers were able to inhibit the growth of a certain pathogen by using a artificial protein containing a metal, and they built that into a paint. And they're using this apparently in hospitals because it's effective against pathogens that are resistant to antibiotics. So who knows, maybe that could make its way into skincare someday, who knows. And that, of course, means that using a blow dryer is more green than towel drying your hair is false. I actually based that on a psychology study that showed that hotel guests can be persuaded to reduce the number of towels they use. And, of course, fewer towels means reducing wash water, saving energy, and detergent waste. So it's not implausible, but there was no beauty science news story about that. So.
Right, but I think if you did the math, I might be able to prove myself right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a gray area. I wish I could give you partial credit, but I can't.
All right. So I'm back under chance.
Well, I don't know who this chance is, but yes, you're not. Yeah. You're certainly not doing well.
Hello.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we move on to a happier topic, and we could talk about the question of the week.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we have one this week from Mary Ellen, who wants to know about nail polish.
Excellent.
Hey, Randy and Perry. This is Mary Ellen from Daytona Beach. I want to know about nail polish. Is it healthy for us to wear nail polish? Does it provide any protection? Or are our nails better off being bare? Thanks for your great service to us all.
Okay, thanks, Mary Ellen. That's a great question, and I thought it might be interesting to start off with a little nail knowledge trivia. So, Perry, do you have some nail fun facts for us?
In fact, I do. Before I start, though, nails are always always funny too. They're always a area of contention between my wife and I.
You want to explain that?
Well, I don't know what it is about her, but I could be in the bottom room in the basement with a door shut, and she could be upstairs with her hair dryer going. Mm-hmm. And if I clip my nails, she hears that little clip, and her ears go up, say, "Who is clipping their nails?" Because she can't stand the sound of people clipping their nails.
Okay, so go ahead.
I don't understand. She's all about nails have to be clipped in the bathroom, like, with the door shut. She just can't stand it. But I think you clip your nails wherever you are.
So, okay, first of all, you realize she might be listening to this. I don't want to promote any, you know, discord in the marriage. Just a heads up.
All right.
And secondly, you know, I think I'm going to have to side with her on this one. And I'll tell you why. I was in Spain on vacation last year, and we were, and so maybe this is a European thing, I don't know, but we're in a taxi, and a couple of other, you know, guys get in the taxi with us, and they're up in front, we're in the back. One of the guys starts to clip his nails right there in the taxi cab. It was just disgusting. So I have to
but
go.
I mean, what else are you gonna do in a taxi cab?
I don't know, but I thought it was disgusting. So I'm going to side with Mrs. Romanowski on this one.
Yeah, I actually think I remember that about you, the disdainful looks you gave me when maybe I was clipping my nails in my cube. Wait, clipping your nails. which I didn't do very often. I try not to clip my nails at all now, but it's better than biting them, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
But speaking of fun nail facts, There are some interesting things. Nails are interesting, and if you can get over the disgustingness of them all. Actually, did you know that fingernails on your dominant hand actually grow faster than the ones on your recessive hands? So for a left-hander like you, your left-hand nails grow faster.
And do you know why they think that is?
It's related to this micro-trauma theory. So is that you, your nails essentially get more impact, and that causes a response.
Yeah, that stimulates the growth of the cells. That's just so fascinating. I was amazed at that. But apparently, it's not a big difference. But apparently, there is a statistically significant difference in how fast the nails on your dominant hand grow because you use it more, essentially.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, another fact is fingernails grow twice as fast as toenails, another type of nail that my wife doesn't like me to cut anywhere outside the bathroom.
At least she's consistent.
Indeed. You know, it makes that same little click noise. No, actually, fingernails will grow 3.5 millimeters per month, while toenails grow about 1.6 millimeters. So it's a little more than twice as fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's interesting though, because you know your toes are in shoes, so you would imagine that this micro trauma would happen more there.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Curious. Another fact: women's nails grow more slowly than men's, except possibly during pregnancy.
Maybe this is why she doesn't like you clipping your nails, because she doesn't clip hers as often since they grow slower. I don't know.
I don't remember her ever clipping her nails. I think she waits till I'm gone or something. She hasn't done it at the store or something. I don't know. Maybe her nails don't even grow. They always look the same. Speaking of growing, you know, nails grow more rapidly in the summer than in the winter.
I wonder if that's, like, is that solar radiation, or is that more because you're more doing stuff in the summer more, so the micro trauma theory, I don't know, I'm not sure why that would be.
I would think maybe is it related to the temperature, so because your nail
Ooh.
Cells are so close to outside air, so if it gets colder,
interesting.
And then finally, soaking nails in water actually makes them drier, which seems kind of weird.
That's very counterintuitive.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that one a little bit more to understand why water actually can dry nails out?
Yeah, you know, we had a question, I don't know, maybe last year on the blog about should you soak your nails before clipping them? Because the idea would be soaking them would soften them, I suppose.
And make them less noisy so your wife doesn't hear them.
we should get her on the podcast. I would enjoy hearing you two discuss this in great detail. And at the time I had not seen any research that definitively said one way or another, you know, if it was a good idea to soak your nails or not. But, you know, it turns out it doesn't. So here's the deal. The optimal moisture level for nails is about 16%, you know, give or take. And at that level, there's enough water in the nail that it allows it to bend without breaking. Now, if you have more water in your nails than that 16% level, your nail is going to be so soft that it will just tear. And if you have much less water than 16%, the nail will be so brittle that it will crack. Mm-hmm. So here's why soaking the water dries them out. So the nail material itself is not very good at holding onto water. And there are two naturally occurring compounds in nails that are primarily responsible for holding moisture in at that optimal 16% level. And these compounds are urea and lactic acid. Now, the problem is both these compounds are water-soluble. So when you soak your nails, you're actually leaching out those materials. You're pulling them out into the water. And once they're gone, the nails will lose their ability to hold on to that water. So after you're done soaking your nails, you take them out of the water, they're going to dry out much more quickly. Now, to make things worse, you know, surfactants, you know, the soaps and detergents you use to wash your hands, and solvents, like the ones found in nail polish and polish removers, can strip even more of these water-binding materials out of the nail. And that reminds me, do you remember this old commercial for Palmolive dish soap that used to play in the 70s and 80s? I'll play a little clip for you.
Madge, why did you decide to become a manicurist?
When I see your hands, I wish I were a nurse.
Dishwashing, Madge.
Or try palm olive dishwashing liquid?
Softens your hands while you do the dishes.
Pretty green.
You're soaking in it.
Dishwashing liquid?
Palm olive.
Wow, this commercial always cracked me up when I saw it when I was a kid. I mean, like, what? Why would there just be a dish of soap? Someone just, and you sit down, you just put your hand in this liquid, and you're not even thinking about it.
Well, and I always assumed, okay, it must have, you know, moisturizing agents or something in it, and that's why it's good. But, you know, looking back at that now and understanding the nail chemistry a little bit better, I can't imagine how that's anything but bad for your nails. So maybe we should have Madge on the show someday and ask her what she thinks about that.
We should. That's a Procter & Gamble product, isn't it?
It is. I don't know. Is palm olive still around? I don't know. I haven't looked for that. I usually...
Well, you know, actually, I do the dishwashing in my house, so uh-huh. I do know.
Well, I buy Dawn dishwashing liquid. There's a plug.
Oh, is that the good folks at, Unilever?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, there you go. That's how we know these brands and companies.
So anyway, the point is you can't moisturize your nails by soaking them in water, so how do you moisturize them?
So there are other ways to... maybe the word moisturize is... Moisturize has always bothered me because it sort of implies water, but mm-hmm. it's not. But sometimes water will dry out, so it's sort of confusing. But let's talk about how you hydrate your nails. Mm-hmm. Now, to hydrate your nails, as you suggested, the thing that causes dryness is you lose these two compounds. And so the theory is that if you want to hydrate your nails properly, you have to restore compounds like the urea and lactic acid, which can actually increase the holding capacity or the water holding capacity of the nail. Now, this a lot of this information comes from some research published by Zoe Draelis, a famous dermatologist.
She is the rock star in the dermatology world.
She is certainly one of the most famous dermatologists, cosmetic dermatologists. Now, only lotions that with urea, so you can't just have the word urea in there. It's really only lotions that have urea in the range of anywhere from 5 to 20% are effective, because less than that, they don't really work. And if you have too much, more can actually soften the nail too much, and then that actually can weaken it. Now, if you apply it infrequently, it's not going to do much good because the humectancy doesn't really last that long. It also depends on the humidity and the weather outside. So this will be less effective, say, in the winter than in the summer. You shouldn't apply these ingredients more than twice a day because frequent applications can actually damage the nail plate. So with all that, nail talk, let's get back to Mary Ellen's question. Is nail polish good for your nails? Now, the answer to that is not so clear cut. There are some positives to this and, of course, some negatives associated with nail polish use. So why don't we talk about both, and then we'll reveal the only nail polish product, or the only nail product that we've seen, which is clinically proven to treat brittle nails.
Ooh, why don't
you start with some of the nail polish problems?
I like that little teaser there, just in case anyone was tempted to turn off the show in the middle. Now they're like, oh, I got to stick around and listen to that. well played. So let me talk about some nail polish problems. I'll just quickly summarize some of the main ones. So, you know, there are inhalation issues, right? So just the process of applying polish can expose you to some potentially harmful fumes, but, you know, because of the solvents and the polymers in the system. Now, it's not likely a problem, you know, if it's well ventilated and, you know, you're doing your own nails at home or something, it's probably not an issue. But there have been studies that show for nail technicians who are, you know, exposed to these fumes for, you know, whatever, 8 or 10 hours a day, that it can be a problem. There was a study in the March 2002 issue of Neuropsychiatry, Neurophysiology, and Behavioral Neurology that showed that prolonged exposure to nail polish fumes can affect the way your brain works. Yikes.
That kind of reminds me, growing up in the 70s, I remember my mother used to paint her nails a fair amount, and I loved the smell.
that explains a lot. In this case, the researchers compared a control group to a group of nail technicians who obviously would have had prolonged exposure to the polish fumes, they found that the nail technicians, first of all, performed statistically worse on tests that measured attention and brain processing speed. And they also had a sense of smell that was statistically worse than the control groups. So it must burn out some of those olfactory bulbs, I guess. Now, there was no difference in terms of learning and memory, fine motor coordination, and some other issues. But it looks like, you know, there is at least potentially some proof here that too much nail polish exposure is not good for you. So that's one thing to worry about. Now, the other thing is staining, right? Now, that's, you know, some of the darker colored nail polishes can actually stain the nail due to a chemical reaction between the colorant and the nail plate. It's hard to predict. This reaction doesn't occur for everybody, but some people will complain of getting yellow nails from some of the darker colors. It's also possible that formaldehyde, which is still an ingredient in some nail polishes, causes the problem because formaldehyde reacts with the keratin protein in the nails and can result in a yellow stain. So staining is an issue. Brittleness is another problem, and that's actually also can be caused by formaldehyde as well, because that reaction can cross-link the protein chains in your nail and actually make the nail more brittle. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, because formaldehyde can harden nails and help with help make them stronger, but too much of that actually swings it the other way and it makes them more brittle. So you have to be very careful if you're using a nail strengthener in that regard. Dryness is another problem. If you apply nail polish, you're exposing the nail and the skin itself to solvents. So, you know, as we discussed, those solvents can strip out the compounds that keep the nails hydrated. So you need to be careful about that. And then finally, infections, right? If you're getting a mani or a pedi done professionally, you might be exposed to conditions that can lead to infections, not just of the nails, but of skin. You know, typically this would come from using instruments or foot baths that weren't properly sterilized. One quick example, I found a report in PubMed that talked about a case where 110 women developed persistent red boils on their legs after having their toenails done in a salon. And it turned out that the foot bath, you know, was contaminated. And in this case, it was interesting because 70% of the women who had the infection had shaved their legs prior to the treatment. So, you know, you might want to shave your legs after getting your nails done rather than before. So
that's interesting. So it sounds like a lot of issues with getting your
nails
done.
There's some problems. There's a dark side to using nail polish, but, you know, to Mary Ellen's point, will she see any benefits from using this stuff?
Right. Well, there is some bright sides, not just the colors. see what I did there? So let's talk about what some of the possible benefits to using nail polish are. And there are really three that we come up with. So as you notice, polishes with cross-linking agents, they can harden the nails and make them stronger. So, too much can make them more brittle. But, you are using nail polish will generally give your nails a little more strength, so less likely to chip that way. And according to Zoe, nail polishes strengthen by adding a protective layer over the nail plate that actually makes the nail just a little bit thicker. It's kind of like putting a splint on your bone to help help strengthen your bone that way. Sure. So this is usually from some film-forming ingredient in the polish, like toluene's sulfonamide resin or some polyester. And then polish also acts as a barrier, which will prevent water contact. And as we know, water can weaken nails. So the polish, by being a barrier to water, can actually help to strengthen the nails. So,
You know, that one I had never thought of, which makes a lot of sense. When you realize, you know, soaking in water is damaging and, you know, how many times a day your nails are exposed to water. If for no other reason, just acting as a waterproofing film, the polish could provide a benefit. So that one was surprising to me.
Yeah, it's almost like the same way as having like a glove on just your fingernails or something like that. Yeah. And of course, the other benefit to nail polish is it does make them look better.
That's true. There is, that really makes the nails pop,
So I hope that answers Mary's question, but we had that teaser about there is actually a product that can benefit your nails.
Yeah. And again, you know, this was really a surprise to me. So while, you know, doing the research for the show, I came across a product. It's characterized as a medical nail polish. And so it's not really a traditional polish. It has no color. It's water soluble, you know, which is good because you don't necessarily get all that fume exposure and the drying effects that you would from a solvent. But it's a nail lacquer that in Europe is categorized as a medical device, and it's used for treating nail dystrophy, so all sorts of nail conditions. Now, it consists of three different ingredients, and there's a patent around this technology. The first is hydroxypropyl chitosan, or HPCH. That's a biopolymer. It's a film former. Chemistry is similar to shrimp shells. Try saying that three times fast. And that's, I think, is what's primarily responsible for the strengthening effect here. The product also contains methyl sulfonyl methane, and that's a penetration enhancer. So I'm assuming that helps deliver that polymer, help embed it in the nail a little bit. And then the patent also refers to horsetail extract. I could not figure out what that's doing in the product, but it is mentioned in the patent. So I found two studies that talk about how this works. And the first was in the Journal of Dermatology and Clinical Research. And they showed that this concoction reduces onchoschisia, which is a fancy way of saying nail splitting. And then in the Journal of the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology, yes, that's right, where I was reading about venereal disease, it showed that this mixture reduces pitting of nails, white spots that you can get, and it also improves other nail health parameters, which is measured by the Nail Psoriasis Severity Scale. So apparently this stuff is the real deal, at least according to a couple of studies in the scientific literature. Now, the catch is it's tough to find. I could not find anything even similar any place in the U.S. So the only commercially available product I could find is a product called Silevo. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but Silevo Medical Nail Polish. And that's sold by the company who owns the patent, which makes sense. And the only place I could find it was through eBay. So it comes in through Europe, but you can order it through eBay. So, I mean, that if you're having trouble with, you know, weak nails and brittleness and splitting and breaking, you know, it may be worthwhile tracking this down on eBay.
It does amaze me, though. And I'll tell you, take a swing at pronouncing it. Silevo.
Okay, there you go.
But what amazes me is that the benefits to this sound pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And if it was so amazing, it shouldn't be that hard to find the product, right?
Well, I wonder if it's a licensing issue. I mean, apparently it's not hard to find in Europe.
Okay.
And the papers I saw were from like 2009, so they're only a couple of years old. So maybe, I don't know, you know how things get tied up in litigation and maybe there's some patenting rights. Who knows? But
Yeah, interesting.
But, you know, you can get it if you look hard enough.
Yeah, well. It's fascinating. A fascinating look at nails today, really. So why don't we sum up Mary Ellen's answer here?
All right. Yeah. What's the bottom line here?
We've got a few. We've got a few nail polish do's and don'ts that we can glean from what we've talked about here. So a do: use polish to strengthen and support brittle nails. But a don't: use polishes or strengtheners that contain formaldehyde, mm-hmm. or at least use them very sparingly.
Sure.
Another do is hydrate nails with a urea and lactic acid cream twice a day, and do avoid water contact as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then a don't would be don't change your nail polish too frequently to avoid over-drying the nail. So don't put it on, take it off, put it on.
Sure.
And then finally, look for Silevo medical nail polish or some similar brand that has... hydroxypropyl chitosan, which mm-hmm. is like putting a shrimp on your nail. Apparently, actually, you know, it's also the exoskeleton for most insects and crawdads.
Ah, crawdads
or lobsters, you know. So there you have it. And then one other thing that you can do for great nails is to take a look at our book. It's okay to have lead in lipstick.
And answers to other questions about lotions, potions, and other beauty products you use every day.
Including nail products. We have a few things about nails in there.
You know, you didn't even realize I just read the tagline from our first book.
Oh, you did?
You didn't even realize that.
I thought we used the same tagline. Okay, I thought you were just riffing, man. This is not a podcast. This is like jazz, man. It's word jazz. You just
let's quickly compare and contrast our two books.
So the
what we call the first book really was our second book, but let's not get caught up in that. So the first book was called "Can You Get Hooked on Lip Balm?" And answers to questions about lotions, potions, and other beauty products you use every day.
Got it.
Right. Our most recent book is called "It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick," and answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know. So,
yes,
just in case that comes up, two different books, two different taglines.
Sure. And you know what? People should just get them both.
Well, we usually only promote the newest book, and I thought, you know, we should be fair to our audience and mention that we've got a couple of books out there.
We do, yeah. Both are chock full of great information about beauty products.
And both are available wherever you buy books online. I do want to backtrack just for a second and add one more don't to your list of do's and don'ts for nails.
Okay, what are we?
Yeah, don't clip your nails in front of your wife.
or in a Spanish taxi cab.
Very, very useful. I'll be sure to add both of those to the show notes.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show here.
I know. Wow, we certainly filled this one with nail knowledge.
We did. Good going. All right, I guess we'll do this again next week then.
All right, so until then, remember everybody, be brainy about your beauty.